open and glared. It was Billy Cantell, jittering like a Model T. I didn't say a word for a minute, I just stared at him. Of all the people I know, Billy Cantell is one of the last I'd think of as a possible 2 a.m. visitor. He's a scrawny, scraggy, scrubby little bum who might be 30 or 40 or 50. You can't tell from looking at him. He's one of the poor clowns for whom life is spelled with a capital H, and I do mean heroin. He does everything it is possible to do with narcotics. He buys it, sells it, transports it, and takes it. He's a retailer on the Lower East Side, and I hadn't seen him for 6 months or more. The last time we'd talked, it was because he owed Ed Ganilee some money, and I'd asked Ed not to send one of the regular collectors. I talked to him about it myself, being careful not to break any bones, and he paid up a couple of days later. The point of all this is that Billy Cantell and I do not normally move in the same circles, and I wasn't used to the idea of him dragging me out of the sack at 2:30 in the morning. So I asked him what the hell he thought he was doing, and he blubbered at me.
Clay, he started, you gotta help me. I'm in a jam.
See where he gets his name, Billy? What's that to me? I asked him. I wasn't worried about this little snowbird and his little problems. I was thinking about Ella waiting for me 3 rooms away. Billy was chattering and flinching, and his hands were jerking around, and he kept glancing in terror down toward the elevators.
Let me in, Clay, he begged me. Please.
You got the law in your tail?
No, Clay, I don't think so.
He kept shaking like an IBM machine gone crazy. He looked as though he'd fall apart any second now, and there'd be pieces of him rolling all over the hall. I shrugged and stepped aside and said, come on in then, but this better not take very long.
It won't, Clay, he promised me.
He scrambled inside, and I shut the door after him. Even inside the apartment, he kept looking around and shaking, and I wondered whether I should offer him something to drink. I finally decided it wasn't worth it. Besides, alcohol isn't his vice. I pointed at a chair. Sit down, I told him, and quit shaking. You're making me nervous just looking at you.
Thanks, Clay.
When we were both seated, I said, all right, what is it?
I've been patsied, Clay. Somebody set me up for a bad rap.
How'd they do this? From the beginning, Billy, and take it easy.
I'll try, Clay, he said.
And he really did try. You could see him struggling to get himself all into one piece. He almost made it.
I got a little high this afternoon, he jabbered. I made some good sales and give myself a good jolt. I went to sleep and woke up in this apartment, and there was this broad there. Somebody knifed her.
You, I said. He looked more terrified than ever.
No. Clay, honest, I don't carry no blade. I ain't the type.
How do you know what you did while you were high?
All I do is fall asleep. You can ask anybody.
So this time you did something different.
I don't even know this broad, he stammered. I wouldn't kill anybody, Clay.
I sighed. Ella was still waiting for me, and this... There was a pack of cigarettes on the end table near me. I shook one out, lit it, and said, okay, you didn't kill her.
No, I didn't, Clay.
Where was this place?
I don't know. I just got out of there as fast as I could.
Anybody see you leave?
I don't think so. Well, when I got down to the corner, I saw a prowl car. Pull up in front of the place. The guy who set me up must have tipped them.
You cleaned your fingerprints off the doorknob and everything before you left?
I was too shook, Clay. I even left my hat.
Your hat? I remembered that hat of his. It was a little plaid cap, like the one Humphrey Pennyworth wears in the Sunday Funnies. But Humphrey's cap is too small for him, and Billy's is too big. It's a plaid, mainly red, and it droops down over his ears, and Billy, afraid maybe that he'd lose it while his head was still in it, has written his name and address inside, in indelible pencil.
I'm in a jam, Clay, he said.